我和志阳是在 Web3 的世界里面的两名不起眼的螺丝钉，这里是我们的一片自留地，在这里分享我们看到的、听到的、经历过的关于 Crypto 的故事。本频道的所有观点纯属两位主播的个人观点，均不构成投资建议。加密行业目前还属于弱监管行业，因此相关加密投资有极高的风险，如果不懂的话请不要进行任何投资。Hello， 大家欢迎回到 Cryptoria， 这里是用简单的语言带你了解纷繁复杂的加密世界。我是主播 Vivian，
我是志阳。
这是我们第25期节目，然后我们非常荣幸的这一次邀请到了 ETH Global 的小伙伴们来参加我们这一期的播客录制。是因为原因邀请他们来呢，是因为在下个月 ETH Global 会在悉尼做一场盛大的 ETH Global 的活动。
对，
那这一次也是他们第一次来到南半球啊。
对，
我们期盼了很久啊。如果有听过我们之前播客的小伙伴们应该可以听过我去年11月份去了 DEFCON 在伊斯坦布尔，那那也是 ETH Global 来组织的一场活动。然后在那一场活动里面大家可以回去听一听我的那一期的感受，所以在那一期里面我有说我第一次感受到了信仰的力量。所以这一次我们终于碰到了信仰，回到了悉尼，
信仰来到了悉尼，
对，信仰来到了悉尼的这种感觉，所以我们是非常的激动的。对如果恰巧你也在悉尼，或者说你也知道ETH Global 要来悉尼，然后你也在 plan 你的机票啊等等啊。好消息呢是 ETH Global 这一次赞助了我们几张票。所以如果你有想来参加ETH Global 的小伙伴的话你们可以在听友群找到我们，同时我们的 TG 的 handle 也会放在 show notes 里面，所以你可以在不同的渠道都可以联系到我跟志阳。因为我们的票都有限，所以呢就大家就速度如果你要来的话。其次呢，我们这一期播客是 Cryptoria 的首次全英播客。那这一次呢，因为我们第一次尝试全英播客是因为我们接下来会希望邀请到更多的大佬们能够来到我们的播客里面，但是他们应该都不会那么多人都会说中文，
不像 Vitalik。
对，所以呢我们也希望未来会有更多的英文播客会和大家见面。
对，
那这一次呢也就算是一个浅浅的尝试。
对，
这次我觉得应该有很多小伙伴们都跟我曾经一样有过很多问题，就是 ETH Foundation 跟 ETH Global 的关系是啥啦，这个世界上有那么多什么 ETH Global、 ETH Sydney、 ETH Melbourne、 ETH blah blah， 那么他们跟 ETH Global 的关系又是什么。那我们也借着这一次机会和 Maggie 好好的聊了一下 ETH Global 的这个它的历史，顺便我还帮小伙伴们问了一下 ETH Global 有没有在招人。
对，
所以呢如果你对这一次的播客是有兴趣的，大家英语也 OK， 那我们也希望大家可以 enjoy 我们这一次的播客。
对，
我们就
进入正题。
那我们就另外也欢迎大家，谢谢大家收听我们的这期节目，然后我们就下周的同一时间我们也就再见了。
好的，
我们进入正题开始。 Hello Maggie and thank you for joining us today and would you mind just to introduce yourself to our audience?
Yeah, definitely. My name is Maggie. I'm on the partnerships team at ETH Global, and I was actually a previous ETH Global Hackathon finalist at Scaling Ethereum in April of last year, and then I later joined the team in May. So I've been with the team for a year, and thank you for inviting me to the podcast. I'm super excited to be here and really excited to share more about ETH Global and also our upcoming Sydney events. It's going to be our first time, so happy to be here.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you. So basically, I attended ETH Global last year in the Istanbul. So actually, that is my first time to attend the ETH Global. And that is quite, I think ETH Global, they are quite lack of the promotion things. So when I just joined, when I just find the ETH Global website and I found a lot of things, the Pragmas and the ETH Global hackathons, and honestly speaking, it's quite overwhelmed. So I have to ask different people, so what kind of the event that I will join, because the first blockchain event I participate is Token 2049. And so there has a huge of the side events, and they have basically they have the agenda. But it's global, it's quite like the okay, we do have some speakers, and we have the fancy we have fancy co conference rooms in the Intercontinental, I think, on the at Istanbul. And we have the huge rows of the speakers to join us, but there is quite lack of the agenda sort of things, and we have to figure it out by ourselves. Yes, yeah, so I do believe most of our audience they are quite interested in the ETH Global, but maybe they will face same problems with me. Yes, yeah, so I just want to do you mind just Let lead us to overview what ETH Global it is and how the Ethereum event to organize those ETH Global events. Yeah.
It's great that you attended one of our events in Istanbul last year, and we're really happy to have you. So, definitely would love to invite you back. So, ETH Global started in 2017 at ETH Waterloo. So, that was our first event, and that was 6.5 years ago. So, over the last 6.5 years, we've actually been the team that's been behind some of the ecosystem's favorite events. So, we've hosted more than 40 hackathons around the world in different cities, across different continents, and we've had approximately I would say more than 50,000 attendees across 100 different countries attend our events. And even with COVID, I think like it's been really, really incredible to have the community join us for so many of our events, both online and offline. And many years later, we are still the largest developer community in the Ethereum ecosystem. So we still host the biggest hackathons and the biggest events that bring together developers, designers, and ecosystem builders to really innovate and push the boundaries of what is possible with Ethereum. So for us, like our goal really is to empower and inspire the Ethereum community. We've tried to provide opportunities to learn, to build, and to network. And for us, the focus is that we are builder focused. So as opposed to other events that you've been to or that you are familiar with, and like you said, we don't really have like a big agenda, especially for our hackathons. Our hackathons are very, very much focused on, like the conversations that happen in the hallways, conversations of people just randomly meeting each other in line. At like the catering, tables and things like that. So for us, like we really want to be the platform for anyone to learn about Ethereum in general. Whether it's like in general, what is Ethereum? Like, can I get into Ethereum? Like, what are the different, topics? Or just like you really want to focus on the technical topics. We kind of have everything for you. So in 2022, we actually also launched something called Guides, which actually teaches the basics of the most popular protocols like MetaMask, Celo, Cartesi, and more. And then last year, we launched Pragma, which you mentioned, which is our founder-focused summit. So basically, like if you kind of think about ETH Global as an entire ecosystem of events, we have our hackathons, which is like our main thing where we get people to come and build. Our Pragma events are founder-focused summits where people talk about the most interesting, most relevant topics that are in the ecosystem. So whether that's product launches or things that are happening that people really want to know about, that's what we focus on. And then our third kind of thing is like our after party or happy hours, where it's just a time, like a good time for the community to have fun and really just like hang out after a long day. So those are the three things that we do now. And yeah, that's ETH Global.
Yeah, so can I say actually, the purpose of ETH Global is more like at the first place, like dev oriented, like developer oriented, and then you expand to like open to the founders, and then like open to more like a general publics to attract more, peoples or builders to the Ethereum ecosystem. Can I say that?
Exactly. Yeah, you're
Right.
so right. It's basically like a, slow step towards like, hey, let's focus on the people that really make this ecosystem what it is, which is the builders, right? At the fundamental level, without builders, this ecosystem does not continue to grow. And so we focused on the builders first. And then after we see that, builders are able to sort of sustain the innovations throughout all of our events, then we introduce the next layer, which is like these builders who come and hack become founders. They start to double down on the ideas that they have, and they become founders of like leading protocols. And now we want to give them a stage to talk about their evolve from, starting something as an idea to now like making this into a fully fledged company with like 50 or 100 or 150 employees. Like, what does that look like? What is an idea? How does an idea start? And how does that become something that actually becomes a company? And then from there, it's like, okay, well, now that you have the ideas and now that you have the companies, Well, you need to have an audience to listen to what you're talking about, right? And so now we're opening it up to the public to come and actually listen and learn about, okay, what is going on in the ecosystem? What is so exciting about like these ideas? Like, why do people care? So yeah, that's exactly right. I think like we try to do it by layers so that there's like a logical, step or flow to why we do those things.
Yeah, I think because when we just starting our entrepreneurship, so we started from the incubator. So we learned a lot from incubators, and we have the pitch night. And actually, we have the pitch competitions going along the way, and then we have the final pitch night. So I think the ETH Global is more like to bring the in the Web 2 part is more like the bring the Web 2's incubators seasons and to the whole to. To how can I say that? To compatible with the Web3 ecosystem or the Web3 spirit.
Exactly.
Yeah, let more people to learn what kind of the or let people to know what idea you have and to hack and then to build those ideas into the business. It's basically like the ecosystem's incubator.
Yes, and also
Exactly.
I think it will be more like a demo day, right? The hackathon is more like a traditional concept demo day. So for all those
Or the
projects
roadshow.
and startups to showcase what they have done so far, I think yes, it's pretty similar.
Yeah, it's really pretty similar. And I just enrolled the Sydney's hackathons. So yeah, I experienced
That's
that.
awesome. I think like one interesting that you just mentioned is like, yeah, we are kind of like the Web 2's like demo day, but at the same time, it's like also interesting because if you think about hackathons, like the history of hackathons is actually like not a new thing in Web 3. Like hackathons has been around forever, and hackathons have been around since like Web 2, just started. Obviously, we don't like refer to anything as Web 2 now, but it's like, yeah, when you know new when the internet era kind of started, there were already hackathons. But I think like the biggest difference between our hackathons and like Web 2 hackathons is obviously, now we are actually introducing what do hackathons look like when you add in this element of blockchain. It's like it's just one technology. If you generalize it, it's just blockchain. But like there's so many different aspects to blockchains, and it's like, now we have like layer ones, which is like Bitcoin and Ethereum, people who are already familiar with these terms. But now there's like also other layers of blockchain. There's like layer twos. People are talking about layer threes. Like, what are those, right? So I think like even though we've only introduced like one element, which is just like blockchains to the world of hackathons, it actually opens up like many, many more opportunities for people to think about in new ways to like solve existing problems. Whether that's like in the financial sector, whether that's in like the environmental sector, for example. I've seen people do like carbon credits on chain. Like I think there's like so many different interesting use cases. So I think like, yeah, like hackathons are not new, but hackathons with blockchains is like this new concept that has actually generated a lot of like excitement for a lot of builders. And I think it's been really interesting to see just like how many different projects have come out of the last 2.5 years. Some of those projects have gone on to become companies. So yeah, we're really just excited to see what else is going to come out of Sydney and like all the other events that we're running this year.
Yeah, exactly. So, because I'm not the technical background, so I'm more from the business and the finance background. So when I just entered into the Web3 industry, yeah, the blockchain industries, and the hackathon is the things that led me to learn what Web3 it is and bring me a lot of the new ideas. So I never attended hackathon before, but I've attended to the hackathon as an audience a lot of times. So hackathons, the new projects that came from the hackathons and to learn what they are thinking about and to learn what the new technologies or the new ideas to adapt into the different aspect of the blockchains. I think that is a very great way to learn as a learning materials because blockchain is so young and everybody we actually were experimenting the things the ideas we never knows what kind of the experiments will be successful but you always have to test the different hypothesis and to until you get something's right so I think the hackathon is the great place to let people to testing their hypothesis, and then they let most people to know, oh, that is what we've done, and that is the outcome that we could share to the ecosystem. And maybe you have some, you have find some good solutions to solve these problems. Good, we can talk, and we can evolve those solutions together. I think that is the charming things in the whole ecosystem. Everybody, we're building together, rather than like the other industries, we're more like the competing with each other. So more like, these things, I have it. No, you can't have it. I have to have my more, and I have to have my barriers over here. But in the Web3s, everybody are helping each other's. That vibe is very charming. Yeah.
Yes, I totally agree. You know, at the other day, you know, when I talked to our, listeners, we got a group of listeners of our podcast. And I said, you know, East Global is coming to Australia, blah, blah, other things. And then they asked me, East Global, what's the difference between East Global and Ethereum Foundation? So I think that's basically will be one of the questions, the general public will always want to ask. So could you, Maggie, could you just like briefly introduce, like, what's the difference between the Ethereum Foundations and the ETH Global?
Yeah, for sure. So Ethereum Foundation and ETH Global, people mix us up all the time. And honestly, I was mixed up as well when I first started attending hackathons for ETH Global. And I was like, oh, like Ethereum Foundation, you know, it's the same thing. So actually, ETH Global was the first grant recipient of Ethereum Foundation's grant program. So the Ethereum Foundation gave us the grant to start running these events for the community, because at the time, like, we didn't really figure out a way to, like, what is our way to, like, sustain these events. And so we were the first grant recipient, and we actually worked very, very closely with the Ethereum Foundation. So Ethereum Foundation is sort of like the body that governs all things related to the Ethereum ecosystem. They run DevCon, they run DevConnect. They have a bunch of different grants, and they have a lot of different programs that are also supporting, the people that are interested in learning about Ethereum. ETH Global, we specifically focus on large scale hackathons. So whereas Ethereum Foundation does not run hackathons, we do run hackathons. And we operate independently of the Ethereum Foundation. So we are two separate teams. But we do align on a lot of the goals. So we have a lot of shared goals. We try to educate people, and we want to enable people to build in Ethereum. And so the way that, like, the most, I guess, real example of how we work together is, for example, when Ethereum Foundation hosts DevCon, which is a really big conference for the developer ecosystem, then we will actually use the same venue or host a hackathon similar to hosting. So, people would come, they would go to DevCon, and then we would actually be the person or the team that actually hosts the hackathon after each of these conferences. So, if you are someone who's new to Ethereum, you go to DevCon and you learn, right? You spend your whole week just going to different panels and talks and, like, all these things, and you just sit and you learn about, okay, what am I even doing here? Why is this important? But then at the end of the week, when you feel super inspired and you're like, hey, I want to try my hand at building something that solves a problem that I face, then you can come to our hackathon and you can actually, like, work with a team, meet other people who complement your skill set. So, for example, if you're not a developer but you're a designer, you can find a developer to work with, and together you can build something to solve, like, a problem that you're very interested in after learning so many things that week. So basically, like, we are two different teams, and we work very closely together to help educate and help enable more people to build.
Right, I see. So can I say that basically the Ethereum Foundation will give not just simply like financial, support to ETH Global to host different events, but also different angles of, how would I say, like a tech and marketing, etc. support to the ETH Global to host various events across the global.
Yeah, I think also, like, I think at this point, now that we've been working together for so many years, we actually don't rely on their monetary support anymore. Like, we're completely self-funded now, separate from the Ethereum Foundation. I would say it's more like a cross-pollination relationship where, people that know about Ethereum Foundation, maybe they don't know about our hackathon, or people that come to our hackathon and got into the ecosystem simply with our hackathon are now discovering, oh, there's actually, like, a conference that's associated with these things. So it's almost like we share attendees, we share audiences, we try to cross-pollinate the two audiences, and we try to get people to, like, really be integrated into the ecosystem by going to both events, because they're not competitive. Like you mentioned earlier, the entire ecosystem, we're trying to find ways to collaborate. And so the way that we collaborate with Ethereum Foundation is that our hackers will go to EF events. EF attendees will come to our hackathons. And together we're really trying to just get them to learn and like build and like meet people. And I think those three things, learning, building, and meeting people, are like all like basically what this ecosystem is all about. I think like when you work together, like a lot of things can happen. And so that's sort of like the goal between us.
Right, amazing. Right, so before I want to ask you the next question. That's one thing I want to know is, can you recall when and where is the first event that ETH Global host?
Oh, the first event that ETH Global hosted was ETH Waterloo in 2017 when Ethereum had just become a thing,
Right. So, Waterloo is the Canada Waterloo, right?
Yes, exactly.
Awesome. All right. So basically, that related to my next question is, after the first event, ETH Global host, like 7 years later, why now is ETH Global
Why
finally
then in
decides to come
Australia?
to Australia?
Because Australia is too far away.
And I mean, why now to Australia, and why at this point? Because it's really tricky. I saw your tweet yesterday. You just you know the Hong Kong just Hong Kong government just approved the Ethereum as well as the Bitcoin ETF, which is like a big surprise. I'm not
Big news,
big
actually.
news.
Not a big surprise, but big news it is.
And that's like really like a coincident time for the East Global to come to Sydney. So I think yeah, could you share some insights?
Yeah, definitely. So I think like first is I think for context, it's important for people to know that for us, like there is a cost associated with running our events. And obviously when you're running an event for, 1500 people, it's very expensive to cover the venue costs, the accommodation, and like food and like just everything. You can imagine that these costs can get pretty high. And so we want to be very strategic with where we go, and we want to make sure that we are able to capture as many people as we can when we choose certain cities. And a lot of these decisions actually come with like other things that we have to be aware of. For example, there's certain countries that are very hard to get into if you don't have a visa. There are certain countries that are easier to get into, even if you don't have a visa. Those are like specific examples of like some considerations that we have. Another example is, if there are bigger conferences happening already in those cities, then we will likely choose those cities as well to put our events, because everybody's already there. We don't want people to fly around too much, more than they're already flying around the world, so we choose to do those cities as well. And the third thing is, like, we also, after we started running our events, we started to see, other communities start to pop up. ETH Sydney, ETH Melbourne, these are like two examples of like meetup communities that have started to form. And like all around the world as well. So there's people that are starting to, bring people together to learn and to, host events. And so we actually take a look at, where are the communities based around the world? Where do we see a high concentration of people that we feel like would really benefit from our events? And that's where we go, and that's where we select our cities. So there is a feature on the ETH Global website. It's ethglobal.com/cities, where people can actually request for us to come to their city. So as we're planning for next year, it's like, oh, we're looking at all the requests. We're like, oh, you know what? Like these cities people are asking for. So why Sydney, right? Like after all this, why did we choose Sydney this year? There's a couple reasons. So over the past few years, we've noticed that a lot of the people that are flying to our events in other countries and other continents actually are coming from Australia. So we have our own platform where we are able to track all the data in terms of like, where does our community come from? And we've realized that there's actually a lot of amazing, amazing builders coming from Australia, New Zealand, Oceania. And we're like, wow, like it's incredible that these people are spending the money and the time to fly all the way across the world to attend our events. And these are very high quality buildings. And for us, we're starting to see a trend of more and more good talent, like very capable talent, emerging from this region. And so we wanted to see if there was a way that, it would be feasible for us to come to Australia one year. So that was what we started to notice. And then the second thing is, we know that there's a lot of different meetups and communities that are in Australia, but there hasn't really been like a big hackathon in Australia yet. And we know that because of our presence and of our like community around the world, we feel that we could be the first one to really like hype up this area as like the next hub for builders to come and build. So, you know, for us, we saw that there were a lot of communities that were already actively pushing for things to happen. There's all these meetup communities. There's like Google Cloud, Web3. You know, there's teams in Sydney and Melbourne that are already like pushing towards like this narrative of like, let's get more people to build. So we said, why don't we help and why don't we come in and like actually be, you know, the team that helps like to shape this week. So that's the second reason. The third reason is like, you know, I don't think it makes sense for us to be called ETH Global if we don't actually go global. We've been to six continents already. And so if we don't go to Australia, we actually can't call ourselves ETH Global. So, you know, why don't we go to like Australia so that we can actually call ourselves, we've actually hit every single continent, with the exception of Antarctica, you know, and we've actually been able to say that this is our seventh continent. So I think just like a couple different reasons, but I think we're very, very overall just like very excited about the caliber of talent that exists in Australia, and we really want to do our best to try and make it to different hotspots around the world. So yeah, I think that's kind of like a comprehensive. Hopefully that was a comprehensive answer to that question.
Right. So just curious, I mean internally, do you have like a discussion or arguments in between Sydney and Melbourne? Because you know, we know a lot of friends also work in Web3, live in Melbourne. So I mean that would be the point, like why Sydney, not Melbourne?
That is a good question. I don't think we've had an internal argument about Sydney versus Melbourne. I think we chose Sydney ultimately, because there's some other restrictions in terms of like venue sizes and availability. I think Sydney just like had venues that were enough to host all the people that we were going to host, which is like thousands. And then also it has some of the communities that are based in Sydney. So for example, like Immutable, Infinex, Synthetics, like all these companies that we kind of work with and are inviting to speak, they're all based in Sydney. So it was more of like that reason that it just worked better for us. But there's no like beef or anything. Like we don't, you know, we hope that it's neutral as well. Yeah. Maybe in the future we'll do Melbourne as well.
Sure.
Yeah. And Sydney have the great weathers.
Yes.
Yeah, it's better weathers than
Yeah.
the than the Melbourne. So, you know, it's reduced a lot of the opportunity, the risk about the weathers, which we cannot attend to the events. Yeah.
Right. So could
Yeah.
you just briefly share about some information of like East Global Sydney, like the dates and the location of the coming events? Because we know that there will be two major events, the East Global Sydney and the Pragma Sydney. Right. So could you just share a little bit information about these two major events?
Yeah, definitely. So Pragma Sydney will be on May 2nd, all day, and it will be our Founders Focus Summit. So we have a couple different speakers that are local and also flying in internationally, and that will be a full day event. And then we also have our ETH Global Happy Hour happening at night at the same venue as Pragma. So that's just going to be an open night for networking and drinks and everything, which is also May 2nd. And then from May 3rd to 5th is ETH Global Sydney, which is the hackathon. And this is welcome. We welcome all builders, like hackers. If people want to apply as mentors or volunteers, you can also choose to apply. But every single person who comes to ETH Global Sydney has to be a hacker, a mentor, a volunteer, a judge, a speaker, or one of our team members. So yeah, the dates are basically May 2nd to the 5th. And then before and after, we actually are working with a bunch of communities to host side events. So happy to chat about that as well. But basically, it's actually going to be like a full week of different events. And we actually do have an ETH Global Sydney side events page, which you can look at to see the whole list of events that are going to be happening that week.
Sure. Right now, what we have learned from different, VCs, as well as marketers, they said that the focus of 2024 in Web3 or crypto would be definitely DeepIn, AI plus Web3, and then restaking. Because yesterday I listened to Bankless. I'm pretty sure you know the podcast. So they talk about that. So actually, what I want to know is like, what would be the key focus area of this, East Global Sydney Hackathon this year?
That's a really good question, and that's actually something that I would like to address, because a lot of people do ask us, what are the themes and things like that. For in-person hackathons, there is no theme. Like, we don't specifically push people to build in specific directions, even though there's obviously narratives that are being talked about. Like, people are talking about DeepMint, people are talking about crypto and AI, but honestly, like, the purpose of a hackathon is not to pigeonhole yourself into, I have to build something in this vertical, because who knows? Like, you could be someone that actually comes up with a completely new narrative for 2024, right? So actually, like, what we encourage and what we are going to be doing for this, for Sydney as well, is like, there's no specific focus area. It's open to everything. You should build on frames, right? Build on frames, hack on account abstraction, try to integrate different wallets if you can, propose a new governance model for money management or community management. I think I would just say, like, think about problems in the real world and think about how Ethereum can be the solution to solve these things. We've had people build like crowdfunding platforms to like fund medical expenses. We've had people who built platforms to enable developers to create and share Farcaster frames. We've had people build, like, honestly everything. So I would just like say, keep a very open mind and just like think about, hey, like, this is something that, like, you think is a good idea. How do I integrate, different tech sets? Or like, how do I use different layers, like L1s or L2s, to actually build this thing and make this happen? Yeah, like, no topic. You should go wild, is what I think.
No,
Yeah,
I like this.
because
I like the last conclusion. You can go wild.
for founders, they're always like some of them or like majority of them, they need to look for fundings. So it's more look seeking fundings. They for the investors, they have like specific focus, and also because of trends, the investor will more willingly to spend more money on a specific a sector than the others. So I think for us it will be always a problem to think about what will be the next trend or what's the current trend. So that's the reason why many people will also want to know about whether there will be a trend or trends in the ETH global.
Sorry. Yeah, I think, like, related to getting funding and like getting VCs to listen to you only if you build out a certain narrative. Honestly, I think from like a personal perspective, and I think like also this is a shared sentiment across like ETH global community, is it shouldn't matter whether you're or not you're building a certain narrative, because good founders will always figure out, good ideas and good projects to build. And I think that, like, I think, like, for VCs as well, they shouldn't just be ultra focused on like what is this idea building in a specific narrative that I'm interested in. I think the focus should be more on like, okay, is this someone that I'm willing to invest in, even if their current idea fails and they want to build something again. So, and I think that's also why, like, we don't have VCs at our events. We don't want them to necessarily influence the ideas that people have, because people have very creative ideas. And I think you should just let people like lean into their intuition and like build very interesting things, because those things could very much become like the next big narrative. And if you limit, people to building in certain directions, then it's not always good. Like, it could be good, but it's not always like the most useful for getting the best ideas. So that's what we think.
Right. Awesome.
Yeah, I think that is more like a dark forest at the first stage, and let everybody we just pitching our own ideas, and those ideas we thought that might really can solve some problems related to the real world or the related to the cryptos, and then let the people to say. I think that is very good for the everybody who has a new idea, because they always need to listen to the real feedback. And I think for the builders, I think there is a common mistake for all the builders that we just want building some things. And instead of we're building some things, and then we are going to go outside and looking for the feedback. So I think hackathons and I call it stock forest is because everybody we came out different. Literally different go wild ideas, and then we're seeking for the different feedbacks, and those feedbacks maybe is harsh, and maybe someone gonna say no, and maybe someone will too harsh to you. But I think that is for the if we see it as a long term, that is not the bad thing actually. I think that in some ways it's good things. And I think that is the
Definitely.
at the first hackathons, at the hackathons like the we embrace every audience to the Ethereum ecosystem. I think that vibe is, I think that vibe is cool. Yeah, but everybody needs to have the strong heart. Yeah. So,
Yeah,
yeah.
definitely.
And I do have the questions about the speakers because on every
Crypto
event,
events, yes.
yeah, and the notable speakers is always the highlight. And everybody were looking forward to see what those people are thinking about and what those people are thinking about the no matter the new trend or that has opportunities we can make the connections. So yeah, we do because last year I went to the Istanbul. Basically, I want to meet the MakerDAO's founders. Yeah, so we just yeah, so who you guys invited to attend to the Ethereum Global Ceiling?
So we have a couple of different speakers. We have some local, like I mentioned, and we also have some people flying in. So we have Kane from Synthetics, we have Mehdi from Sigma Prime, we have Rohan from Dapper Labs, Robbie from Immutable, and we also have Farouk from Powerloom. And these are just some of the whole list of speakers that we have. And then yeah, like I think just like in general, like a good mix of different people coming from different verticals as well. So I think it's gonna be quite an exciting ride.
Right. So since you already mentioned like there are a lot of notable events or startups or project Web3 projects in Australia. So what's your idea or what do you see the growth of the Ethereum as well as the Web3 community in Australia?
I think there's some local communities that are doing like very well already in terms of like getting the community together and like actually trying to run like consistent meetups and workshops and events. So a few people that I really want to mention are like the ETH Sydney team, the ETH Melbourne team, Helix Collective, Google, Chainlink Labs, Lilypad, obviously Immutable, Synthetics, Infinex. Like these are just like such a short list of people that are already doing so much to try and bring people together and open up the floor to like a bunch of other events and like people that want to get in. And like our goal really is like after this event that we're running in Sydney, that more and more people will be open to learning more about Ethereum and Web3 in general. We want this to be like a starting point, and we don't want this to be the last time that we come back to Australia. We really want to, I think like the purpose of us being there is that we do expect to see people wanting to learn more and wanting to get in to the ecosystem. And so for us, like we're very bullish, I would say. And I think like working together with all the communities that we are, we hope that this is going to be a place that continues to grow even after we leave. Yeah, so that's what I'd like to see. And I think like a lot of the very like prominent Australian projects and startups that are in the space are already doing a lot to make it a very like friendly place. I think people are offering co-working spaces, people are offering like opening up different venues just for people to come and gather and get together. So I think people should definitely take advantage of those opportunities. And yeah, like go and meet some people and see what they can do.
Yeah, I think last year or the beginning, yeah, I think it's the end of the last year, and I do attend to the Binance education part, and
Last year.
yeah, they host a lot of the workshops about cryptos and Web3 workshops with the universities. Last time I went to the UTS event, and I do find a lot of the junior and younger university students that they are starting to know what wallet it is and what staking means and what DAO means. Actually, that is very basic definitions for the people who already work in the Web3 industries, but it's still a very new definitions for the outsiders. So I do find a lot of the Binance Sydney teams, I think they're shaping their directions from the trading and the centralized exchange and to the educating to letting more peoples to know what Web3 it is. So and a lot of VCs actually because we are building the project in Australia, and we think most of people they're outside of Australia to attending to the different events. I think the mainly thing is they are seeking for fund, and because in Australia they're always not, the VCs are not very actively to invest in the crypto area, but so most of the builders, so Australia they do have a lot of the great builders, and especially on the game part.
Yes.
Australia always building a very funny and creative game. Yeah, but for the funding things, I think the Australia founders, they always seeking, they have to seeking outside in the Singapore, at the US. And I think that is why the judges echoes before you mentioned a lot of people, they're going to outside of Australia to attending the event. I think the seeking fund is definitely the one thing. So then that's related to my questions. I relate to the funding things is maybe the one challenges about Web3s in the Australia. Does any opportunities or the challenge that Ethereum Global this time in Australia, the guys are looking for?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of potential for innovation and like tech adoption and Web3 adoption in Australia. I think like the two challenges that I see is like one probably like regulatory. I'm not exactly sure like what the regulatory sort of like sentiment is around the adoption of like crypto and Web3 in general. I think that could be like a big challenge. We've seen that already, in the past, like the US SEC and like all those things. And I think, like you mentioned, I think what opportunities we really want to capitalize on is like the opportunity to educate more. Different ways that we can work with communities to provide education to local communities, to students. I think in general, like this is like a community effort. It's a group effort, and we really want to work with people to come up with like different types of channels to get people to learn about these things. Like hackathons is one thing that's like events, right? There's also asynchronous content. We can publish guides. We can publish podcasts like these. We can publish articles. We can try and talk with like school administrators and try to get this as like an actual curriculum. Like there's so many different things that could be done to just like at least educate people. And I think that's like step one is like instead of trying to sell someone something that they don't understand, educate them on something that they don't understand. Because like that's a much better way to convince them that something is plausible as opposed to just trying to sell them on something that and like taking advantage of them for not knowing something. So yeah, we're very excited to just come and be there and like see what we can do. But I think education is the first step, and like giving people a platform to learn and to network and to build is what we're focused on. So that's why we're coming to Sydney. Well.
Yes, I think the other part would be the Australia or even the Australia plus New Zealand is like a such small market, and that's the reason why lots of like really prominent Australia or New Zealand projects they started from here, but they never expand within Australia and New Zealand. Instead, they try to reach out to the Asia's, US, and also Europe. I think that's the other problem because you never see any of those projects try to advertise in the domestic market. That's the thing. I think it's always like a issue.
Yeah, we learned about a lot of the project. They are beginning from Australia, but they never say, "Oh, I'm the Australia project." They always say, "Oh, our project's based in Hong Kong and our project based in Singapore's." It's always like the hub, and they can spread the different channels. They can spread the different words to the different ecosystem and let people to know. I think Australia maybe. For the marketing perspective, it's not re really convincing.
Yes.
But again, Australia always have the great founders. But for the founders,
Yes, definitely.
it's only it's the important part as a successful project. Yeah, and I think another successful component is the marketing. Yeah, so yeah, I think eventually Australia too far away.
Yes. There's a joke, last time when we went to Singapore, we talked to one of our friends who work in the media, and he told us that we never have any like strategy in Australia and New Zealand because they are not in our scope. It's too small.
Oh my gosh.
And that's the reason why, the first time I told my friends that East Global come to Australia, they said, it's like, really?
Are you
Why?
kidding?
I mean, why? Such a small country, and not small country, but like a really small populations in a country that why East Global need to come here. So I think that's always like a dilemma to all those Australians builders and startups, and also that's always will be the problems they need to confront in the future as well.
Yeah, but it's okay. Web3 is a global industries. So you can starting from Australia, and anyway, you always need to facing the global audience. So if you
Exactly.
just focusing for the local audience, you're not Web3 enough. You're not native enough eventually. Yeah.
So, Maggie, could you just share some ideas or tips that for our potential attendants? So how can they make the most of upcoming East Global events in Sydney?
Yeah, I mean, for all those people that, are excited for us to come, we would love to see you there, of course. And we hope that by us coming to Sydney, we will really help change the sentiment towards Australia as, a place that isn't as welcome. Or like, we really want people to actually start thinking of Australia as like, this is a place where I have resources and I have connections, and I have like everything I need to like get started in building. So I think like, if you come to our event, I think like what we could do is definitely engage in the workshops and talk, meet new people, like be very open to connecting with speakers. Like our speakers are more than happy to stay afterwards and like meet you in person and chat with you. If you're building a project, talk about your project and participate in other people who are building something interesting that you might be interested in. So I would just say like be very open to meeting new people, and have like a story to tell. Like what are you interested in? Even if you're not building something, just like come with something prepared so that people can find value and like, hey, this person's interesting, like maybe we could work on it together. I would also say like, attend the workshops and take some time to actually do a bit of self-studying before you come. I think you can make the most of the event if you come prepared with some like foundational knowledge. And there's a ton of resources on our website. There's a ton of resources on the Ethereum Foundation's website as well. Like watch our YouTube videos. Our YouTube videos have all of our previous workshops recorded. And so like I would take advantage of those. We also have like volunteer opportunities. We also have like after party events. We have all these side events. So I would just say like start planning your schedule and start planning your week now, just to make the most of every single event that you're able to make, so that you're gonna have a good time. So yeah, that's what I would say. Plan ahead and
Yes,
be ready.
I remember, because Vivian yesterday talked to our team that she needed to stay east to attend the Hexon, right? I think, because some of our team members, like I think it's the first time they want to join the events and they feel that the more like application process is a little bit
You have to
difficult.
introduce yourself,
So
at
like
least.
there is a lot of questions you need to answer before you can proceed to the next steps. So I think that would be it's not quite friendly. I mean, in some way, not quite friendly to new attendants. Yes, because we got some like listeners talk to us in the same aspect. So like there are so many procedures we need to go through. It feels like, oh my God, it takes ages to finish it. So
I
do
will say it. Go ahead.
yeah. Will you say like or East Global will try to simplify like the application procedure?
I think it depends on which event you're applying for, because I think like for example, Pragma, the application process is much easier. There's like less things you need to fill out. It's more like a basic form of why do you want to attend Pragma? And that's because it's open to everybody who's like, for example, if you're new to the industry and you just want to learn and you want to come attend, that's the application flow. The reason why we make the hackathon one a lot more lengthier is because we want to be able to connect you with like the right opportunities and also with the right people. So for example, if you have a profile that's filled out and you are like this crazy developer and you've like done a lot of things with development, then maybe like there's some opportunities to work with like designers or like people that are less technical. So the reason why, like, even if you don't have something to fill in for every single field, we want you to do the best that you can so that we actually have like a record and we can help you like succeed and send you like the relevant resources later down the line. And once you set up your profile on East Global, it's like there forever. So that's sort of like the reason why. And we also want to make sure that the people that are attending our hackathons are people that genuinely want to be there and that they genuinely want to learn. So, if you're starting off as someone who doesn't know anything and eventually you do, then you can keep updating your profile and say like, well, after coming to these hackathons, I actually did like several. So there's a reason why we do that. It's like just so that we can try to collect as much information and actually help you succeed like later on. I think we'll definitely take a look though. I think we always appreciate feedback on our application process. I will definitely flag that to my team and we'll see what we can do to make that process a bit more friendly for the beginners as well.
Awesome.
Yeah, but those applications, once you just fill in all your details and then it's already there. So next time you're doing the same things and actually it's automatic to fill in. So that is just one off.
Correct.
If you are just If you're just a new attendee, it's just like my last year. And literally, it took me a lot of time to fit in all things. But it's saving me a lot of time this time, you know. So when I just applying the everything, so it's my wallet is linked there and my everything's there. And so for
Awesome.
me, yeah, so for me, so the second time
Much
it's,
smoother.
yeah, it's much smoother. Yeah.
Awesome.
That
Awesome.
goes for everything in life. You know, the first time you do something, you always think it's harder than the second time. So that's why you always want to do something first. Yeah.
True, true. Right. So we have actually covered all those different aspects of East Global. The last thing I want to discuss with you is more about yourself, like why you want to work with or work in East Global. Like why you choose to join the teams, and what do you expect from East Global?
That's a great question. I've been with the team for a year now, and I would say like it has been an incredibly rewarding year. We have a very small team of 15 people, and when you're in a team that runs so many events and does so many things, but you're such a small team, you can imagine like the number of things that are kind of like on your radar all the time. I think you really learn to look for opportunities. You really learn to like figure out how to do things even when someone doesn't tell you how to do it. And that's the beauty of like this ecosystem, is that like you can always try new things. Like even if you're like not, you don't, if even if you're not a founder of a company or like a founder of your own project, like there's so many opportunities within East Global to try new things, to experiment with things. For example, you know, we like launched a bunch of new things this year. We launched packs, we launched like a side events page like recently. Like there's all these things that I get to do with the team. I get to travel with the team. I get to learn from like some of the best people in the ecosystem that have actually worked at other companies and came back to East Global. I think just like the wealth is really like the number of experiences and the number of people that you get to meet by being at East Global. Whether you're an employee at East Global or you're just an attendee of our events, it's just like the level of like connections and like serendipity that you can take advantage of is unreal. So I'm having a lot of fun. I'm learning a lot, and I'm definitely feeling like, you know, there's a lot of amazing builders out there that I've been able to really meet and get to know. So yeah, for me, it's like a no-brainer, and I love being here.
I do have one very curious question. It's not on our question list. So, if we want to, if any of our audience who say, I want to work with the ETH Global as an employee, how the recruiting procedures it is?
We are hiring, and you can apply directly on our website. Yeah.
Okay.
And the recruiting process is basically you fill in like, you know, big application forms. If you're scared about that, don't apply, but I would say you should apply. And then we usually reach out if there's a fit, and then there's like an interview process, and then we invite you for like 2 rounds of interviews. And if there's a fit, then we invite you to.
Oh, cool.
Wow,
So
amazing.
basically in on the global office or just based on the Hong Kong office?
Oh, it's global. So all of our
Oh.
team members work remotely. We don't have an office. Like your office is wherever you choose to be. It could be like at your desk, on your bed. It could be in a WeWork. It could be on the beach. It could be, I don't know,
Oh.
wherever you want it to be. Yeah. So yeah,
Right.
global.
Oh. That is my first time to know. I just thought the ETH Global should have the,
Like
you
a
know,
headquarter
yeah, have a
niched
headquarters.
for, right? Oh, so all your colleagues are like working in a distributed manner.
Exactly. Yeah. So I'm based in
Oh,
Hong Kong. We have people based in SF and Europe and everywhere. So, yeah,
okay,
it's
yeah.
pretty decentralized.
Yeah. So I think the most challenging things I think is time conflict.
Yes. 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 Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah.
That's right.
Amazing, amazing. Right. So, basically, Maggie, with us today, share a lot of information about East Globals and the upcoming East Global Sydney, and also talk about her own career in East Global. So, Maggie, do you want to like add closing thoughts to our audience, and perhaps you can just tell them a little bit more and encourage them to come to the event?
Awesome. Yeah. So I would say, first of all, thank you for having me on the podcast. I really enjoyed being here. I think like whether you are a beginner or an intermediate, or an expert in the ecosystem, there is always something to learn, at our events. And whether that means, you know, learning about something that, is an upcoming product launch that you have never even experienced or like heard about before, whether that means like meeting someone new that could potentially be your co-founder, whether that means just like building a new project and like maybe that leads to something new that you never expected. I think I would really encourage everybody to just come out to an event and see what you can get out of it. I think like there's a lot of value in just like saying yes to like a random opportunity that comes your way. And I would say like ETH Global could be like just that random opportunity for you. Maybe you've never heard of ETH Global, maybe you have, but I would just say like while we're in Sydney and if you're based in Sydney, definitely come out and just like meet us. Yeah, I mentioned before, but if you come to Sydney and you come to our events in person, I'm happy to grab you coffee and coffee would be on me. So yeah, I think I would just say like, you know, take advantage of any meetups, whether that's an ETH Global event or not, take advantage of events that are happening in the area. I think like be long before the whole world starts talking about Web3 and crypto. Right now it still feels like, you know, this is like a very small industry and it still feels like there's only certain people that talking about it, but eventually this is going to be something just as normal as like talking about Googling something on your phone. So I think it's just very important to learn about these things early, and it's never too early to start. It's also never too late to start. So yeah, we're really looking forward to seeing more people at ETH Global Sydney, and we hope you have a great time when you come. And we're going to do our best to make sure that you have a good time when you're there as well.
Awesome.
Awesome. Thank you, Maggie. And by the way, I just want to mention that ETH Global sponsor us some discounting code. So
Yes.
if you just happening you are in Sydney and if you want to join this or participate in the ETH Global, and we have our TG handles on our show notes, so
Yes.
you can just connect with us and we can share those discounting code with you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also, we will share the links of ETH Global Sydney as well as Pragma Sydney on our show notes. So you can just click it and have more information about both of the events as well as the side events. I think the side events page is already listed, right? Okay, awesome.
Correct. Yeah,
So we
it's on
will
our
share
website. Yeah.
in the show notes.
Yeah. So again, at the last of this our podcast, I just want to say last time I went to the Token 2049 and I met girls in Singapore, and I just curiously asked why she joined the Web3 industries. And she shares with me, said, Web3 is so great. You say we can have the literally very formal conversations at the daytime and see we're on a party at night. So we share all the freedoms and we can work and we can play. It's basically we share all the work hard and play hard vibe. And so yeah,
Exactly.
we share all the freedoms and we share all the happies and the enjoys and the And basically, I have to say the collaboration things is the most charming things that attracting me to the Web3 industries. Yeah.
Yes.
That's
Okay.
awesome. Super glad to hear
Awesome.
that.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you, Maggie. Thank you for joining us today. And I'm waiting you at Sydney. And
Yes.
as I promised, I'll bring you to my favorite coffee and a coffee
Come.
on me, by the way.
Thank you so much. Yeah, it was a pleasure. Thank you for having me, and I'm really excited to see you guys in Sydney in 2 weeks. Yeah.
Okay.
Cool.
Thank
Bye.
you.
Thank you
Thank
for your
you.
time.
All the
Okay,
people
bye.
sound turns me around. The gypsy style brings me a smile. Oh, how that swing taught me to sing makes my life worthwhile. How that music gets me high, brings tears to my eyes. My hips are swaying side to side. My lungs they holler, howdy, hi. It brings the people out tonight. I need that swinging.